Welcome to the 6 Degree Podcast, the podcast where we grill our guests about the things that make them tick and find out how human connection plays a role in their life. I'm your host, Emily Merrill. Hello, and welcome back to the 6 Degree with Emily Merrill, the podcast where we grill our guests about the things that make them tick and find out how human connection plays a role in their life. I'm your host, Emily, and today I am so thrilled to have Christina Van Vuren, founder of Femtech Media Group, a production company amplifying innovation and investment in women's health technology. Christina, welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
The theme of today's podcast is going to be women's health technology. And with your background and area of expertise, I know that we have a lot to dig into and to really unpack this theme a bit deeper. But before we get started, I think you have the most incredible background, from the Navy to healthcare to crisis lines. How did you get your start? And, you know, take us way back at the very beginning of who you were to who you are now.
Absolutely. So 10 years ago, what was 2011, I was a brand new mom at 21, and just gotten out of the Navy and got divorced. It was a lot. It was a big year for me. And I was, 21, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, had just been in the Navy, and it was great. You know, it was just fun, honestly. Like I never deployed, thankfully. So I just got to do like the cool onshore stuff and made a lot of friends. And then transitioning out of that was really challenging for me, especially becoming a mom. And then, you know, my relationship status changing. So I moved from San Diego, California, back to Atlanta, and just kind of started over here. And it's interesting when I tell people my background, because I started with, I think I was being paid $11.25 an hour doing like claims adjusting data entry, creepy boss, fluorescent lights, the whole package.
I can visualize it beautifully.
Yeah. It was like the, you know, epitome of like the dreaded corporate job, except it wasn't like high paying. It wasn't, there were no golden handcuffs. It was just really, really hard. And I was a single mom and, you know, just trying to juggle all of that. It was close to impossible. It was just, you know, I think about a lot, like how, you know, people talk about self-care when we really need community care. And looking back at that time in my life, I really needed a community.
First time, that's insane. That's so incredible that how far you've come in 11 years or 10 years. And I can't wait to hear more. But, you know, what drew you to the Navy to begin with? Was that something that had always been on your trajectory as something you wanted to accomplish?
Absolutely not. My parents and my school never talked to me about college. So I knew it was an option kind of, but I was never prepared for it. And so when I, you know, graduated, which I actually, I dropped out of high school 3 months before I was supposed to graduate because my family was moving. And I was like, I'm not going to another school for 3 months. So I got my GED and I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. I mean, I had like a vision of what I wanted one day, but back then, like I didn't have the tools that I have now, like the mindset skills to understand what was possible. I just was living like very moment to moment. And I was 18 when I joined the Navy. And it was really just an act of like almost desperation of like, I don't want to get stuck in this tiny little town. If I don't go now, I don't know how I'll leave. And so the Navy really provided that opportunity for me to just, you know, take flight, just get out of there, do something different. And yeah, it really was like the catalyst for me understanding that pretty much any life you can imagine could be possible for you.
And I think I'm so happy you shared that, because there are the schools that overly prepare you for college, and then there's the schools that are best of luck to you. And, we'll see you on the other side potentially. Don't do drugs, that kind of school. So, if for someone who might be listening and might be in your shoes right now, they're graduating high school, they feel as if their future feels so murky and unclear. Do you have any advice for that person?
Yeah, I mean, this is just the beginning, right? Graduating high school, it feels like the biggest step of your life, but you're not even a fully developed, who you're going to be yet. You can create yourself. And that's the beauty of being a human, right? Is that you're not stuck with who you currently are. You have the power to just decide who you want to be and how you want to be and how you want to show up in the world. And you just take step after step towards that.
I think that's a great piece of advice for the overachiever, the underachiever, and for defining that their whole success is made in this 18th year of their life. Because I know I was, God, we all were so self-important at 18. We thought we had shit figured out and we knew who what we want, even if we didn't know what we wanted, we were like so cocky to ask for help or whatnot. And now I'm like, I don't know how to do anything. Can you teach me anything, please, someone? So I think that's a fun thing that time and age gives you. So okay, so you have your daughter, it's a daughter, you have a daughter. Okay, you have your daughter, 21 years old, your relationship ends, your time at the Navy comes to an end. Well, you're at this really crappy 11:25 an hour job, which reminds me of the Rugrats. If you ever remembered in our childhood, them playing adult was like them pushing paper in a horrible warehouse. It reminds me of that image.
It was kind of like that, yes.
Yeah, that's what it looks like in me. So clearly you are not in that place anymore. Now you're the director of marketing at Incena, a healthcare communications agency. Have so much experience in healthcare from, leading projects with Blue Shields of California, Manifest MedX, Alation Health, so on and so forth. And now you're also a founder. So in these 10 years, what the heck happened? Because clearly something had to shift.
A lot shifted. I mean, I've always been a really self-aware person. I did not have an easy childhood or really even a great childhood. It was pretty rough. With the caveat that I have a lot of privilege, because I am white, I didn't earn it. But, given that, I still had a lot of, I would say more like emotional barriers to overcome. I was really insecure, really felt like I didn't have a place in the world. I remember one time someone was like, "Oh, hey, Christina." And I was shocked that they recognized me. I was like, I did not think somebody would recognize me. And I mean, this is so weird, but like it was like a genuine surprise. And looking back on that, I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, it just shows that I really felt like unanchored.
Yeah. And kind of like invisible even to the outside world. You go through life either being seen or not seen. And if you if you feel like you're not being seen by those around you, you're surprised when all of a sudden someone says, "Hey, what's up?"
Exactly. And, I think about this a lot. I think about my path a lot, my journey a lot, which is my daughter's name also, Journey.
Oh, I love that.
I didn't know where I was going. I had no idea. And I remember every step of the way being like panicked. I was like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I remember I told my mom that at 13, I was like, I've done nothing with my life. She's like, oh, you're 13. So that's okay. But it just, it shows that I have like this inherent drive to be more and do more, which comes with its own set of problems, but it is a motivator. And I think the biggest shift so it's really an interesting story. I met this woman, Megan. I don't remember how we met or what the context was, but we had coffee and then we like went and got lunch a couple weeks later and she handed me the book, The Secret. And she said, I think you should read this. I never heard from her again, never saw her again. Like, literally, I don't remember her last name. I have no idea who she is, basically. But I read the book. And I'd never even considered that I could change my mindset. And suddenly, I was, like, so aware, like, of the way things would just be in my mind and then happen in real life. And I started, like, you know, just playing around, testing, like, if I put my attention on something I want, does it have the same effect? And it was just little stuff, but it did. And I mean, I swear by all of that. Like, some people are like, oh, it's woo woo, whatever. But, you know, it's just like the concept of what you put out in the world, you get back. And that was, I mean, that was what kicked off so much of my personal development and just my growth as a person, my willingness to look inward and heal the trauma that I'd been through and, you know, recognize that, like I said earlier, who I was not who I was always destined to be, that I could become whoever I wanted.
I think, oh my gosh, I'm so happy you brought up the secret and you brought up like the mindset shift. I was actually just leading a group program right before this, and I had all of the girls go through a visualization, writing down their desires and then like really writing down their desires with feeling and taste and all of the details through it. And yes, I think, oh gosh, I wish there was this, that we could be like on a, with a megaphone right now, just to the world, to tell them how important it is and how important it starts with mindset. And we all can be victims. We all have our things that we could be a victim of. I think we've all been a victim in some way, shape, or form. But that reframe of realizing like life isn't happening to you, you have to happen to life, and there's action involved as well. So from getting that dream job or that dream partner or you know, getting a house of your desires, like you're not going to just be sitting on the couch watching Gilmore Girls and the pizza guy delivers all of that for you. It has to be a little bit more active. So the secret happens. This girl, Megan, if you know who you are and you somehow stumble upon this, because this is the how small the world will be. What was the next step that you took in terms of taking action, and how did you get into healthcare? It feels like such a separation from where you were.
Yeah. So I walked out of my corporate job, literally walked out. It was like crying in the parking lot before I had to go in, walked in, sat at my computer. And I was like, I cannot fucking do this for one more day. And I got up, I went to my boss's office and I was like, I quit. Just real like nonchalant, I quit. I'm done. And he just looked at me and said, if you walk out that door, you will not have a job here. And I was like, yes, I know.
I get that. Sorry, I'm walking out.
You don't want a job here. And he was just like, you're going to fail. You don't know what you're doing. Like, just really negative. And I just remember feeling like, okay, let's wait and see. And I went home and I paced around my apartment and I ate cold Chinese food. I just like, literally, that's why I remember that so clearly. I was like, just ate leftover Chinese food. Like, okay, like it's fine. Everything's fine. You just quit your job. You have no money. You have a child. Like, what are you going to do? But I was like, you know what? I want to be a writer. I've always wanted to be a writer and I'm good at it. And I actually, it's funny that I ended up in healthcare. I was telling a client this earlier. I was like, I'm like really into like interoperability now. It's social determinants of health, but I wanted to be a fashion writer.
What?
Yeah. I loved it. I like had that dream of moving to New York and just showing up at a magazine and like getting the internship. And I'm like, that doesn't exist anymore. That was like early 90s, not a thing anymore. Like now apply online. But, you know, in my head, that was the dream. And then I got an assignment for Bustle, which no longer exists.
It doesn't? I thought it does. Did I?
Maybe it was something else. I forget. Oh. There was one that is like not.
Daily Candy, maybe?
No, it was one like Bustle, like the personal essays and stuff. Yeah. Like that. But
thought catalog, like all
yeah,
of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I wrote, it was like an assigned piece and it was something like 5 ways to wear your scrunchie this spring. And I was like, I don't fucking care about this. Not to say, I will say, I don't think that fashion writing is like that. I think that was my one experience with it. And I was like, I'm never going to make any money doing this, or it's going to be a very uphill battle. So I was, you know, I was just thinking like, well, what could I do? And so I started, I don't know how it came to me, but I just Googled like companies getting funding, like startups getting funding. And I came across Digital Health and I made a list of every single digital health company on a market map in 2015 and stalked their LinkedIns, found, I mean, I was emailing people left and right. Hi, I'm a freelance writer. Can I write for you? And 2015 was like, digital health was really just taking off and nobody was doing digital health writing. Nobody was. So I was like in on the ground floor and people were like, oh my God, yeah. Nobody asked me for like proof that I could write. Nobody asked like, what college did you go to? What degree do you have? How are you qualified? And that kind of was like, it was great because I didn't have any of that. So, you know, glad they didn't ask. And it gave me a chance to prove myself by doing the work. But a lot of it too was just an inherent understanding that like how you connect with people matters. And so, you know, everybody gets those salesy emails that are from people, they're from real people, but they're like, hi, I'm so-and-so. Here's a list of things I can do for you. Are you interested? Well, no, because no, I have no interest in pursuing something that feels so transactional. So I would look up like, you know, what the company was doing, like what press releases. And then I Google the founder and like, look at their Facebook and like, and be like, oh, you know, I saw that you were featured in such and such article. I really like that quote you said about, and it was just intense research. I mean, I worked 16 hours a day.
People resonate with you paying attention to them versus the generic and the pray and spray. Like you were actually investing time and energy into like understanding the person versus just flippantly emailing everyone.
Yeah. And it felt good to, like you were saying, taking action is a big part of it. You can think you're, you know, like manifesting all this stuff and you're sitting there. It's like that quote or that saying that the guy's like, I have been praying to win the lottery. And then God's like, well, did you buy a lottery ticket?
Like, I love that. I haven't heard that one.
It's so obvious, but so many people are like, well, I want it. So why isn't it happening? But that action piece, it's like inspired action. It's not just like frantic, throw spaghetti at the wall, do everything you can to make money. It's like focused, strategic, you know, really mindfully pursuing what you want and being willing to accept it when you get it.
And to also recognize that because you want something doesn't mean, again, that it's an Uber and it's going to be at your doorstep in 2 minutes, that it takes time and it takes perseverance. And I'm sure you got just as many no's as you did get yeses, but it was that one yes that it sounds like that opened, that wedged your way through a door that helped connect to further things. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It was just one and then another one and then another one. And then now I can say I've worked with these three brands and oh, we know them. Like, and now actually, I mean, what, 7 years into my career, I've never marketed since I did those original pitches. It's all referrals. And I pride myself in that because I don't need to market because I've proven myself. And the reason that I'm like so proud of that is because I never thought that I would do anything like this. I wanted to be a magazine editor and a fashion writer. And I would encourage people to not be super attached to the outcome of their dream or like what their dream looks like in real life, because I wanted to, you know, do these things, but my day to day is basically that of an editor and a writer. And I'm doing all the things. I'm just not doing it for fashion.
And I probably would say that you're getting paid a lot more. I worked in fashion.
A lot more than I would in fashion, 100%.
Yeah, that dream job. I love how you said that too. Like someone, I always find, I was in another call today and people, we were talking about when you get your dream job and then you're disappointed by your dream job, which I think happens more often than not. It's like the dream guy, like you visualize or your dream partner they have to be a certain way. And then you're like, that person's a complete dud, or the company that you work for, the while it feels so sparkly on the outside, maybe they don't embody like what they preach. And so, I mean, we saw that a lot with like a lot of the women's organizations, even last year with the Wing coming under fire and Away and all these like super hot brands, but really internally there was a dumpster fire happening and a lot of turmoil. So I love that. I love that you were able to take that learning. And I think it's such an important lesson for anyone that's like, but I want to be a fashion editor. Sure. You know, take the same skills that you would have done as a fashion editor and apply it to something parallel. It probably pays so much more.
And you know what? The thing is too, is, I mean, don't give up. If you believe being a fashion editor is what you were put on this earth to do, by all means, go after it, but not at the sake of your well-being, not at the sake of not being able to pay your rent. Put those skills to use somewhere else. You know, yeah, I'm working in healthcare, but now with Femtech Media, I'm producing events. This is kind of new. Nobody knows this yet, so you guys get a little insider intel, but we are going to be publishing some print, some books. So that's what I've always wanted to do. And it's, yeah, I'm not talking about clothes, but it's meaningful to me. It's fulfilling, you know, and it's something like every woman in the world needs access to healthcare, better access, safer access. And so getting to kind of take my love of fashion and design and look at healthcare through that lens, I get the best of both worlds. But if I had been so stubborn that I could not see what the universe was putting in front of me as the blessing that it was, who knows? Who knows where I'd be? Still probably in that crappy apartment, maybe back at the crappy job. But you know what? A year later, I had made six figures.
See, you went from 1125 to adding a lot of zeros to that.
Really good.
I'm sure Journey felt, or hopefully feels really proud of you because your own journey should inspire her journey. Well, switching gears a bit and just talking about, okay, women's healthcare. It is such a big topic. And I think, you know, with the theme of today being women's health technology, I want to hear a little bit more of Femtech Media Group and what it does, but then let's dive into like women's healthcare and how tech plays a role in that.
Absolutely. So Femtech Media is a production company. We produce events, like I said, some books coming. And our real thing is like, we're not so set on like, we just do events or we just do this or that. The goal is like, what can we do? What can we create to amplify Femtech? And for people who don't know what Femtech is specifically women's health technology. So, you know, it can be something like a cervical cancer diagnostic tool, or it could be like TIA clinic.
I met the founders at a Shabbat dinner before they even launched. I know, they're so cool.
Their brand is beautiful. I mean, it was superb.
I remember when they were talking, they're like, it's a chat box. It was like before they've even grown to what they are now. I was like, cool. I love like a chat box to talk about the pill. I could talk about this all day. And then now it's like this household name. That was cool. That was a very cool serendipitous conversation.
Well, and that's what the goal is for all of Femtech is to, I mean, TIA, Kind Body, Maven Clinic, these are prime examples of the good that can happen for women when women's healthcare and health tech companies are invested in.
Oh, yes. And this is something at Six Degrees that I'm really passionate to bring in the forefront, talking about our vaginas a lot more and talking about just things that feel technically taboo because we haven't been talked about. They haven't been talked about historically growing up with most families or with friend groups. We actually did an event called the Vagina Dialogues, an intimate conversation about your intimates. And we had someone from a femtech collective. I don't know if you know Nicole, and we had Beatrice Falua Spada from the Honeypot Co. and a bunch of other women. But I think it's such an important technology and just like emerging conversations to be having, because a lot of it is still growing by word of mouth. So let's start and talk about what are your, I mean, I don't want you to pick favorites, but what are the ones that are exciting you the most right now? What femtechs that are out there that are really ones to be watching?
Yeah, I do have favorites.
Tell us your favorites.
One that I really just, I admire and I think will go incredibly far is Health in Her Hue. Ashley Wisdom started it. It's a telemedicine platform for Black women. I mean, revolutionary, right? Black women have different needs than white women often. And that's not talked about.
And historically are more afraid of the doctors.
Rightfully so. And also, you know, they have different reactions to certain medication. There's this whole spectrum of things within healthcare that like requires a culturally appropriate approach. And I mean, women in healthcare and health tech more recently, I mean, there's no research, there's no data. What data is there is like kind of bogus. Like we're not really sure if it's legit or not, because it was like out of a group of 10 women, 75% said like it's not there. There's nothing, you know, that we can rely on to use for innovation. That's changing. It's changed a lot in the last, you know, decade, but especially the last like 5 years. And I love seeing femtech companies that are taking on clinical innovation. I think that's so important. Tampon companies, great, needed. We need organic tampons. It's not femtech, it's e-commerce. Unpopular opinion. Someone will be mad when they hear. But it's e-commerce.
You know,
unless you're putting technology in my vagina, I don't really consider it femtech.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a line. And I think some people, you know, it could go either way. There's an argument for both sides, but where I'm really interested and where femtech media is really focused is that clinical innovation, that technology driven innovation. So Health in Her Hue is a great one. And then, oh my gosh, there's just so many. Fermata is great. Now that I'm like on the spot, I'm like, what are the femtech companies again? Hold on.
No, and the top three is perfect. I think, and we can, we'll definitely do a blog post on this so we can do more of a cohesive roundup and put it in our notes as well. But I think that's the incredible thing. Again, like Health in Her Hue, is that what you said it was called? I've never heard of that before, but hopefully then someone hearing this will then be able to share it with someone else. And a lot of them are growing by word of mouth because stupidly or foolishly, like we still focus so much on the Teslas and like the self-driving cars. And I feel like we see more of a spotlight on the men, stuff that's created by men. So the more we can do to amplify these incredible companies that are coming out and talk about it and share it with one another is incredible. And oh my gosh, okay, I wish this podcast episode was like 2 hours because we have so much to talk about and we don't have that much time to talk about it all. But I just think, you know, as women, articulating and having those conversations with each other about what's happening and like our bodies and educating, and someone's had cervical cancer. Why did they find out about it? How did they self-advocate for it? Do you have any other tips or advice on women to think about when talking about their bodies and also leveraging technology?
Yeah. Well, one thing I'll say on the cervical cancer note, I think it's like 90% a cervical cancer deaths could have been prevented with an early diagnosis. So taking that information, what I would say, don't accept what you're told by your doctor. And I'm not bashing healthcare providers. They are frontline workers, critical to the health of our country and women, but they also have not been trained in how to treat women appropriately. And by appropriately, I mean, with adequate knowledge of our unique health needs. And so if you go to the doctor and you say, I think something's wrong, here are my symptoms, and your doctor says, it's probably your period or whatever else that is dismissive or that you just don't feel as satisfactory, you don't have to take that as the final say. Your body ultimately is your responsibility. And so it's on you to keep pushing. And it shouldn't be so hard. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. And, you know, women and girls, you know, that are coming into womanhood can go into the healthcare system with the knowledge that the healthcare system was not designed for us. It really wasn't. And so we're going to get the care that we need. It has to be us that demands it. I mean, I've had to say to doctors, no, I need a full blood panel. I don't care if I have to pay out of pocket for it. And I'm very privileged that I have been able to, you know, at times in my life, just pay for healthcare. And that's affordability is a whole other podcast episode.
Definitely.
But, you know, for advocating for yourself, part of it is talking about it with your friends. Mental health is a great example, actually. And women are disproportionately affected by mental health, certain mental health conditions. And men are too. And a lot of those conditions go undiagnosed because there's an even greater stigma when it comes to men's mental health. How do you say that?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a great example because in the past, you know, handful of years, we've seen mental health become a lot less taboo. I mean, there's still a stigma by all means. Like, we're not out of the woods yet on that one. But because we've talked about it, because we've started going, hey, maybe I'm not the only one. So that's like the mantra, right? Like, if I am experiencing this, other people have too. And that's enough to run with.
It is such, I'm so happy you brought that up, just the self-advocation and the doctors and not taking the final word, and that you are responsible for your body. I want to just remind everyone, you are responsible for your bodies. No one can be a mind reader if there is pain. I so second that. And second opinions, I've known people that have ended up passing from cervical cancer. I've known people that have, you know, had a lump on their breast, and the doctor was like, don't worry about it. And it ended up being breast cancer. And so thank you for sharing that. I think that is just such a good point. And yes, we need to have a whole new podcast on just affordable healthcare. My husband's Canadian, so I always reference how, you know, what maternity leave looks like over there, what healthcare, it's not perfect. But when the pandemic happened, people weren't as scared about going to the hospital or the costs that would ruin their lives for treatment. So, so much there, but unfortunately we have to start wrapping up the podcast. And Christina, you are incredible. You are just such an inspiration. I think you're an inspiration for women everywhere. You're inspiration for women at all different periods in their life too, from being a new mom to being a young individual and feeling like I have no idea what the hell I want to do with my life. And then also to pivot, to change and create meaningful movement and change in your life. So happy that you were able to be on this podcast. But before we wrap up, I would like to switch gears a bit and to move into 6 fast questions. So we know a lot about you now, but I want you to tell us an unknown fun fact about you.
Oh yeah, this is a hard one. I feel like I'm such an open book again. I don't know if there's any unknown facts. I will tell you a fun fact. I've moved 39 times in my life.
Oh my God. And you're not even 39.
32.
32, 39 times by 32. That's a great fun fact. Who would be a dream person you'd want to be connected with?
Oh gosh. I'd really love the opportunity to sit down with Michelle Obama. I know it's kind of like a generic-ish answer, like everybody would say Michelle Obama, but I really admire her grace and her grit and her passion for advocacy. And I would just love to be in her presence.
I think I would sob in her presence. I'm pretty positive.
Full yeah. Fangirl cry.
Yeah. Oh, reading Becoming and then watching the documentary about her where people were like literally having religious moments. I felt that. I actually liked her more after I read Becoming. Like, I liked her, but then I like loved her. So that was good. What TV show are you currently watching?
Oh, I have spent a lot of time over the last several months watching The Fosters and then Good Trouble. So good. I actually think one day I might want to foster children because of that show. It was just so impactful.
Oh, okay. Good to know. And there's many seasons, right? Like five seasons or so?
Five seasons, yeah.
Five.
3 seasons of Good Trouble, which is like the spin-off that follows the daughters off after college.
Oh, okay. That's good to know that connection.
I finished it yesterday though, so I need some good recommendations because like
It's
I
emotional.
don't know.
Have you watched The Bold Type?
Oh, The Bold Type, Younger. Yeah, I've gone through all the good ones. Emily in Paris.
Yeah, I was like, you needed something light like The Bold Type or something to counteract it. Okay, what book are you currently reading?
I just finished Malibu Rising. I forget who the author is. It was great. It
Okay, Mel.
seems like a light beach read on the surface, but it's very packed with meaning. And I cried and I laughed during that book. So highly recommend.
I'm reading a book right now and I just wanted to bring it up because I think you would resonate with it. It's called Outlawed and it's about an outlaw of barren, like a bunch of outlaws, but they're all barren women who are outlaws because if you're barren, you were a witch. And this was set in like the late 1800s.
That is my jam. I'm going to order that right after
Yeah, I
this.
think you'll, it's fun. It's a fun read. What is your favorite emoji?
I like the two little pink hearts. That's like my most used emoji. It's not like romantic love, but it's kind of like flirty and fun and like gets the message across.
Gets it across. And then my last question for you is who inspired and or gave you permission to do the thing that you wanted to do with your life?
I will say that I did. I did not have any real role models growing up. And I understood at an early age that if I was not going to regret my life, it was up to me to give myself permission and not wait for other people to do it.
I think that's it. You are a great example of someone who took that permission and ran with it. So I'm happy to see it. Well, Christina, thank you so much for being on today's show and for joining us on the Sixth Degree. It was an absolute pleasure. Where can people find out more about what you're working on with the Femtech Media Group?
Yeah, it's femtechmedia.co and at femtechmedia on every platform.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you for joining, listeners. Thank you for listening. If you like today's show, please make sure to subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share with any friends. And we will see you the next time on the Sixth Degree. Take care.